Studio 360.
Somebody pointed me to this video on YouTube that is a wonderful cover of the great song from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory called Pure Imagination. The screen is split into six squares, like on the opening of the Brady Bunch, but every square is the same guy, Jacob Collier.
One, two, three, come with me, bop, and you'll be bop, in a world of pure imagination. Take a look, and you'll see into your imagination.
That is now just one of the videos on Jacob's YouTube channel. He's covered lots and lots of familiar pop tunes with that kind of incredibly complex, multi-tracked harmony. And those videos got millions of views and the attention of people like Chick Corea and Herbie Hancock and Quincy Jones, who signed him to a record deal. Now, in a recording, you can have lots of tracks of Jacob on a song, but there's only one Jacob Collier. So how do you perform those intricate multi-part songs live? For him, the answer came from a young engineer at MIT who built him a black box, literally a black box, that is called a harmonizer.
There's only one of these in the world, and it was invented by Ben Bloomberg, who's actually sitting over there in the studio, who's a grad student at MIT. This instrument essentially takes whatever I'm singing and duplicates that note at my command.
That's gorgeous. That was Jacob Collier playing and singing Hide and Seek by Imogen Heap. So do you always use this harmonizer when you're making music?
This digital simulation of my voice is only ever used for live performances. In the studio, I sing every single voice independently so that I have all of the control over dynamic range and things.
Well, that's good to know. You're not just a robot.
I'm not just a robot.
What was your musical education?
So I'm very much self-taught. I was brought up by a family of musicians. So I suppose music was essentially a second language. You know, it was here's how to explore how something feels in a key. You know, how does D major feel? How does B flat minor feel?
And there was a piano at home?
There was always a piano at home. That was the kind of centerpiece of the house. I suppose it was very much something that was not a technical introduction, but an emotional introduction, you know. And I was encouraged to think about keys and navigations toward keys and things like this and songs and things in this emotional way. I suppose that was my fundamental education.
And did you say, well, Mom, Dad, how did they do that on that song I'm hearing on the radio?
A little bit. You know, it was more that I was exposed to things and then given a chance to sort of walk in and find my own opinion there. I always explored on the piano, and I suppose I built a framework of understanding based upon what I'd heard, which was strong enough to take into more listening that was more challenging. And essentially it was a process of gathering information towards a kind of central point of fascination. I'm such a sort of avid explorer.
Was music always central to your life, or at 12 or 13 or 14 or whatever, did you say, nah, enough with that, Mom and Dad, I'm going to go play video games?
Yeah, music was always central to my life. And that's not to say that nothing else existed, but yeah. It was, this room in my house full of instruments, my room, has been my room for 22 years.
Huh.
And it
maintains
that magic.
So you were like raised in a
magic.
Lab to be who you are.
Yeah, it was like a sort of treasure trove. But, you know, I never set out to to expand upon this in terms of a career. I just set out to have fun and enjoy music and keep on exploring.
Did your parents or other adults at some point say, kid, you're really talented?
You know, my arm was never twisted, and I was never encouraged to do things that I didn't want to do. And I suppose that that's a nice way to form a musician who can work on his own terms.
Uh-huh. You started to become known to the world beyond your family 5 years ago when you were 17.
Yeah.
Performing and recording these multi-vocal, multi-instrumental videos that you put up to YouTube. Just doing this into a webcam, did that feel awkward?
It's a slightly strange sensation at first, but in the end, it's one that you can really enjoy. It's as though I'm performing for an audience, but it's in stop time. So I have up to 50 video takes in some videos happening at once. And so I need to be a sort of mosaic designer and think about where to place these things.
That's interesting,
things.
The mosaic analogy.
Yeah.
When you hear a song, are there particular things, like a checklist of, oh, I'd like to try to see if I could do that?
You know, I think listening to songs for the purpose of arranging them is obviously a different thing from listening to songs for fun.
Yeah.
Certain features would stand out. You know, for example, a melody which is simple and strong enough to be completely and utterly reinvented is definitely an asset.
Yeah.
And in some ways, repetition is also good because it means that you can state something and then you can invent it from the point of view of having stated it as it is first.
Right. And apart from that, that repetition, which I understand, what else about a particular song makes you think, that's protoplasmic in a way that I can reinvent?
Good word.
Thank you.
You know, I think, mainly it's songs that I love that I'm drawn towards.
Uh-huh.
And I think if someone by now had quantified what it is that makes somebody love a song, I think it would be game over.
Yes. He or she would be rich, among other
rich,
things.
Rich, yeah. Rich to say the least.
One of my favorites that you did is Don't You Worry About a Thing,
uh-huh.
which I remember
Thank you.
Hearing when it was new, when I was not much younger than you. And I want to play a little bit of Stevie's original.
Don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing, mama. Cause I'll be standing on the side when you check it.
It's kind of Stevie at his best, you know. He's exploring, combining different genres together. But there's this melody in this song which goes, right. And that, for me, as a sort of reharmonizer, was extremely attractive because that's just one note going down in semitones.
Because I'll be standing on the side when you check it.
Doo-ba-doo.
Ah.
Extraordinary, and it is almost like if one were going to distribute a demonstration of chord changes at their max, that would be a good piece of...
So many chord changes.
Really?
Yeah.
And do as you're doing that, do you discover things that you haven't heard before? Like, whoa, that's a thing I just stumbled upon that is actually new?
Yes, absolutely. Actually, the second chord of that descending sequence contains a microtone, which is a note which doesn't exist on the piano. And this is not something I walked into it thinking I was going to use, but I ended up walking out with one, and that was really, really fun, actually.
Ah, thrilling, I would think.
Yeah.
Your music and your career has been made possible by the digital age. You have a thing that some parents, if they see it on their children's computers, might be alarmed. It says, I harm you.
Yes.
Explain what hashtag I harm you is.
So the I harm you campaign was actually something which was part of my Patreon campaign, which was the campaign with which I raised the money to make my album. There was one pledge amount which gave people the chance to send in any melody, a sort of 15-second melody, and I would send it back fully harmonized. It's crazy. You know, I've received over 100 melodies from people all around the world.
Here is a guy called David Lynn Grimes, who lives in Alaska, who sent you this clip of himself singing a little tune.
Brother of the wind, can we hear you holler, dancing in the smoke with the river daughter? Water, water, water.
Mm. He's one of your patrons, and you spend how long harmonizing with it?
You know, it depends. You know, the actual harmonization process is fairly short. You know, maybe for like 5 or 10 minutes or something. But then the recording of the harmonization can take a little longer than that. You know, I guess between half an hour and an hour. I know if I go over an hour, I'm really procrastinating.
Yes.
It's making David sound the best he can possibly sound.
Brother of the wind, can we hear you holler? Dancing in the smoke,
dancing in the smoke,
with the river daughter,
with the river daughter,
water, water, water.
Mm. I love that. And I can see how it would be a pleasure for you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's completely a joy.
Another musician who was fascinated by, maybe obsessed with harmony, is Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys. Do you think of Brian Wilson as a kind of kindred spirit?
Yes, I do in some ways. You know, he wrote this song called In My Room, after which my album is named, and it's about this idea of having a, you know, having one's own space where one can be inventive and create and have secrets and things, and this is nice.
Well, will you play In My Room for us now?
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah.